Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. This is your host, Colin Cattell, and returning guest to the program today, Jordan Roy Byrne, publisher and editor at thedailygold.com. Jordan, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Colin. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And we just, I think we blew through 20,000 subscribers on Palisade Radio. It's been 6 years and you've been a big part of coming on the show for at least much of those 6 years. As we discussed when you came on just a few weeks ago, it's nice that the sentiment in the sector's changed and what we've been talking about has changed from the bearish side to the bullish side, which provides a good lead in to ask you, where do you think we're at in this correction for the gold stocks?
Well, Colin, I mean, you know that I'm not a man of few words, but to put it in few words, I would say that I'm not sure that it's over yet, but it appears that most of the damage has already been done. And to expound upon that, GDX, and I've kind of compared what happened in 2009 to what's happening now. Because if we look at what happened to the bottom in October 2008, the stocks made huge moves higher. I mean, they had a couple sharp pullbacks at the very initial outset of the rebound. And then a couple months into it, which was 2009, GDX's next three corrections were around 15 days long. Or there was a median for all the 2009 corrections of about 15 days long, and I think 21%. So those corrections tended to be around 20% for GDX. So top to bottom, GDX has corrected 17%. It's probably been close to 20 days. I think given where GDX is right now compared to 2009, this correction should be a little bit longer because in 2009, the market, I mean, you had a crash basically that was at the end of a bear market. Whereas now, I mean, GDX is in a different position. It's made like a new 7-year high 2 months into the rebound. Whereas in 2009, you know, it was still below the all time high at this point. So that's why I expect this correction to last a little bit longer. And I mean, GDX has twice rebounded from the low to mid 31s. I mean, I've been saying, you know, maybe it could test 30. It's hard to call. I don't want to make a call because I just don't know. It would just be guessing. But look, I mean, if GDX has not hit the low point in this correction, it's not going to go that much lower. Like I said, maybe it'll test 30, maybe it won't. Now, with respect to the metals, Colin, I think, you know, gold is gaining some relative strength. It rebounded from its 200-day moving average relative to the S&P and also relative to silver. I like how silver is holding up here, but I mean, and same thing with gold. Going with gold first, I mean, it's trading, you know, 1730, 1720. It's bounced off 1675 several times, and I think there's a good chance that gold is going to hold that level. Now, even if it doesn't, it still has a lot of support coming up at 1600, and it would still be above the 200-day moving average. So if gold were to break that support, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world, but I mean, if it can continue to hold 1675, which I would lean to that outcome right now, I mean, it's building a bullish, tight consolidation that's eventually going to give way to a stronger move higher. And with respect to silver, I mean, I don't want to give it all away in this answer, but I mean, silver it's pulling back after it tested 1875. It's tested 1875 four times in the last 10 months. So it's putting upward pressure on that resistance. And I really like how it's setting up because I think, you know, eventually at some point, I don't know if it's going to be 6 months, 1 month, 3 months, 4 months, but eventually at some point, silver is going to break above that 1850, 1875 level on a weekly basis. And it has, you know, when it does that, it has upside to 21, and then 21 is really the last resistance until 27. So potentially really exciting for silver. It's still really early. I don't think a breakout is imminent yet, but just looking out over the next 12 to 18 months, the potential for that kind of a move, it's there. And so that should excite investors. So again, long story short, the correction, I don't know if it's over or not, but most of the damage has already been done. And so people, I mean, I wrote something, I think, 3 weeks ago where I said, now's not the time to buy. You know, the market sold off. And so now we're in a much better territory where, you know, most juniors are trading 10-20% off their highs. So it's a better time to buy now. And I mean, who knows, maybe if this correction continues a little bit longer, we might get an even better entry point.
Yeah, I like how you pull on data and historical analogs. Markets tend to do a great job of confusing people and in a bull market case, shaking people out. So sometimes it feels like the bull market's over, and you know it can feel in a very short time frame like, you know, things have changed, and it's important to look back into past bull markets and know what it should feel like, and you know, very helpful pointing out the analogs and the moves on the GDXJ. Jordan, I want to ask you, obviously the GDXJ is representative of the mid-tiers, GDX, the majors. What are you looking at? What are you seeing in the smaller sphere of the juniors? Is it much the same or anything different happening there?
Well, I think starting off with GDX, and you correctly pointed out, it's kind of mid-tiers. I stole this from someone, but GDXJ is the senior juniors, you could say. It's not, you know, most of the juniors that you and I partake in are not really in the GDXJ. If they're in there, they're very, very tiny positions. But GDXJ, Colin, at the middle of May, it rallied up to about 50, 49 bucks, and that's 7-year resistance in GDXJ. And so we rallied up to it for the first time since 2016. And you usually don't break out on the first attempt. So the market is correcting. It's very healthy what's happening. It's correcting after hitting that resistance. Much like silver, it's correcting and consolidating, which is very healthy after hitting that major resistance. And again, you know, like it came down to a low in the low 42s. So it's actually, I mean, it's actually held up a little bit better than GDX, which is a good sign. It's just very healthy what's going on, Colin, because GDXJ, and again, this is the same thing for silver. They rallied up to multi-year resistance. They're pulling back. They're correcting. They're just digesting that move. So, you know, buyers and sellers are going back and forth. And eventually, at some point, buyers are going to gain the upper hand. You know, sellers are going to finish selling, but buyers will have the upper hand, and the market will slowly start to move higher, you know, and make another upside attempt at breaking past 50. Just like what I said with silver, you know, I don't know. I don't think this breakout is imminent, so maybe it could be at least a couple months away. But look, I don't know. It could be 3 months. It could be 6 months, 4 months. I just don't know. I mean, as time goes on, we'll get more data. I'll have a better idea. But just the big picture is very bullish. And GDX, by the way, I mean, GDX already made that breakout. So GDX is retesting its breakout while GDXJ is correcting and consolidating before it's going to make its 7-year breakout. And alongside is silver with very important resistance at 1850 to 1875. So we're still correcting and consolidating as a whole for the sector. But, you know, when we start that next leg higher, you know, the move that could occur, it could be very bullish for GDXJ, silver, and the juniors. And to turn to the smaller juniors, I've said this before, Colin, but I think when GDXJ is able to make that breakout, surpass $50, make that new 7-year high, I think that's going to be the point when you start to see, you know, money flow into all the smaller juniors, and basically the entire sector has a re-rating and gets really bid up as people get excited. You know, they throw more money into the sector. They're looking for smaller names that are cheap. I think, you know, when that happens, that will be the point when speculation will really start to pick up in the sector. And, you know, another marker for that could be gold breaking 1800 or 1900. You know, I don't know what, you know, if that's going to happen this year or not. I mean, I'm focused more on the stocks because they usually, these types of moves, they usually lead the metals. But that's another marker to keep in mind, 1800, 1900. I mean, because when we see gold breaking above 1900 and GDXJ probably breaking above 50 before that happens, that's when you're going to see really explosive upside moves in the sector.
Jordan, are you worried at all about the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ having regained most of their losses? Gold bugs, looking back at 2008, even the most recent crash, could be concerned that if we do see the stock market start to decline again, it's going to take the wind out of this move in gold. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, Colin, I think we talked about this last time, and I'm not particularly worried about the stock market for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you look at gold to the stock market and that ratio, it last week it bounced above a rising 200-day moving average. So gold is, you know, relative to the stock market, it's in a bull market. I mean, that's different from what we've seen in the past. And the gold stocks, you know, they've a month or two or a couple months ago, I can't recall, they broke out against the S&P 500. They, of course, have pulled back on that move. But basically, the precious metals are in a better position against the stock market. And, I mean, the stock market had a 35% decline. So that's pretty serious. That's, you know, the sixth or seventh worst decline. It might only be the fifth or sixth worst decline going back to the Great Depression. You take out the Great Depression, that might be the worst decline outside of 2000 to 2002 and 2007 to 2009. So that was a real significant decline for the stock market. And I mean, it's possible that it hit a bottom and that it doesn't go below that bottom. It's also possible the stock market really doesn't do a lot. Maybe it goes sideways. Maybe it struggles to make a new high. I'm not really sure if the economy, I mean, if we're going to have a, if we're having a little recovery now, or we might have a double dip next year. I just don't know. But just remember that the market is a discounting mechanism. It always looks ahead and anticipates what's going to happen. And so the healthy technicals of precious metals, they've already anticipated what's going to happen, you know, what's happening, and those types of things. So the precious metals market, look, if there was a concern that the stock market was going to pull precious metals down, what you would see is you would see the stocks would be really struggling against the metals. They'd be underperforming. Silver would be underperforming gold badly. And we just don't see any of those things happen. They're not happening right now. And that's, look, I mean, the sector's been correcting for a month, and we don't see any of those things happening. So, and on top of that, Colin, let's say the stock market trends lower, corrects more, people start to get fearful. I mean, what's going to happen? What are the effects of that happening? You're going to see more money going to bonds. You're going to see rates lower. You know, that also supports gold. Yes, you could see silver weaken a little bit. But look, I mean, I've said in my updates, you know, silver's trading in the mid-17s now. It's possible it could go even to the low 16s before it hits a bottom. That wouldn't change what I'm looking at as far as my big picture bullish outcome. So I'm not that concerned about the stock market, because just remember, if it falls and has more weakness ahead, that is going to trigger the need for more bullish policy for precious metals. You know, it could be the government doing another stimulus package. It could be more helicopter money to taxpayers. That's what we have to keep in mind. The threat of a lower stock market is going to strengthen fundamentals for gold and precious metals. Now, sure, if the stock market goes down, maybe gold stocks and juniors, they'll get hit a little bit, but I'm not that concerned about it. They've already corrected some. If they have to correct more, that's really not a big deal in my mind. So, I mean, Colin, for the most part, this is a wall of worry. I mean, this is what we're going to see as this bull market in precious metals continues. We're going to see, you know, fears of deflation, or the dollar is going to get too strong. You know, we're going to have a depression. The stock market's going to crash. Gold stocks are going to go down. We're just, as far as the technicals of the market, we're not seeing any hint of that right now. And I don't think there's going to be a hint of that coming in the next, you know, couple months or the next year or two. I really don't see that happening. Now, if there's a shift and something changes, you know, I'll let people know. But right now, I don't see any signs of that boiling under the surface.
All right, very good. Well, Jordan, let's have one final topic to discuss, which is the dollar itself. Where's the dollar at, technically speaking? It doesn't feel like to me it's weakened that much, and that's despite a tremendous amount of assistance coming in from the Fed and, in theory, money being created. But how's the dollar performing, and how's that going to play into the gold picture moving forward?
It's an excellent question, Colin, because the dollar basically has been, I mean, if you go back to 2015, it's basically been flat. If you go back to the beginning of 2019, it looks like it's been flat. I mean, it did have this pop higher in March to 104, which was the high at the very end of 2016. And technically it looked good on the chart at that point in time, but you know, the dollar, it wasn't able, when it corrected, it wasn't able to hold most of the gains, and it basically retraced the entire move, came back down to 95.96. It's bounced a little bit. I mean, technically it's just kind of a big mess. I mean, the dollar has been, it's been doing really well against, I think, the trade weighted index, which is more a lot more emerging market currencies are in that basket. So the dollar has been doing better against those currencies, but against the euro and the yen, it really has not been doing much of anything. And one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, a stable dollar or a strong dollar in the environment that we're in, that's going to create the need for easier Fed policy, more inflationary Fed policy, more policy intended to weaken the dollar. First and foremost, that's bullish for gold. It's more bullish for gold, relatively speaking, than silver. So that's something to keep in mind. If the dollar, Colin, were to fall below 96, you know, 95.96 on a weekly basis, it could possibly have a bigger breakdown, and that would be bullish for commodities and more bullish for silver relative to gold. But as far as telling you where the dollar is at and predicting it, it's really difficult because the dollar has just been a big mess. I mean, in March, it looked like it was starting a new bullish trend and on the cusp of a big breakout past 104. It completely retraced that entire move. As far as I see, it's just kind of it's a mixed picture for the dollar index. Technically, it's a best. I mean, if it can rally and go above 101, then we could make a really bullish case for it. At the same time, if it falls below 95.96, I mean, it could fall all the way to 93 or even 88, the 2018 low. So it's a mixed picture. It's to use a football analogy, it's kind of at the 50-yard line right now, and we're not really sure which way it's going to go. But I think I'm not concerned that a big move higher in the dollar is going to really negatively impact precious metals that much. I mean, it could coincide with a correction, but other than that, I'm not too concerned about it right now.
All right. Well, Jordan, thanks so much for coming back on the program as always, and we'll look to have a follow-on discussion here in the next couple of months.
Thanks for having me, Colin.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. Nothing on this podcast should be taken as investment advice. Guests on this show are not compensated for their appearance. Listeners are urged to educate themselves and make their own decisions. Do not base any investment decisions on the information contained. To view our full disclaimer, please visit our website.
Think you understand the junior mining sector and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people, hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?